Hey, Mark.
Tony.
You're a real manspreader, you.
Sorry.
your bloody legs are so flipping wide, too. There we go, that's better. Look, just a couple of men in cream pants.
You need to come closer, or we need to move the camera that way.
You can't see that. You can't see our pants. I can move that way. They're both wearing creamy pants.
It looks off.
Exactly. It does look odd. If you look down,
it does look right. If we were walking to the supermarket together, people would be like, oh, they're a nice couple.
Yes. Oh, my God. The funny thing is, though, they weren't cream originally. They've only got creamy recently. Oh, you would...
I was here last week. You know that.
Yeah, you'll be forgiven for thinking that we missed a week. But no, this isn't... We've seen each other.
We did.
Yeah, yeah.
We had the lights, the camera, the action.
You and I were just two weirdos having a conversation in front of a camera for about an hour or so.
We talked rugby and we talked Georgian name origins and we talked all kinds of...
Yeah, we did. Talked about the Shvillies and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad week for the Tier 2 nations must have been gutted. Like, oh, we get our big week on...
Finally, we're on Two Cents Gets Distracted. I'm like, wow, these pricks didn't even do an episode.
Yeah, we did. We did do an episode, but it was riddled with drama and turmoil and technical difficulties. From the moment you walked in, there was a bad smell. There was an old smell downstairs.
It smells a lot better today.
Yeah, there you go.
And then our first attempt at recording was thwarted by the fact that the microphones turned off after 30 seconds.
Yes, and we restarted. We're about 6 minutes in at that stage.
Yeah, we restarted.
Yeah.
And then the SD card filled up.
I used a little SD card. These were all my fault, by the way.
Oh, well.
And then when I went to restart it, it was about half an hour in, and we'd sort of done the meat and potatoes of the podcast, and there wasn't a huge amount to cover, so it was a lot of BS talk. But then the rest of it, and then somehow when I restarted it, I managed to delete the one good file that we had of actual content.
From the start.
Then we just had about half an hour left. So there is a half hour chat
of us just talking some shit.
Yeah,
more than usual.
Yeah, exactly. So it didn't end up coming out, so I'm sure people were longing for it all
I didn't
week.
Get a single comment asking where it is.
What?
Sometimes if we have a week off, people will be like, where's the pod at? And I'm like, Tony's gone abroad.
I was almost gonna tweet out The sorry for our loyal
but nobody asked.
Nobody asked. Okay, so back by no one's demand, we're back. Hopefully this, look, it's not back. Currently, you and I are just still two people having a conversation in the lounge while it's raining outside.
In similar coloured pants.
And creamy pants. But if you are watching this, we have been successful. We're all listening to it. We have managed to get it onto a streaming platform of some description.
Maybe Apple Podcasts.
Or iHeartRadio.
Potentially even Spotify.
And you could even be watching our faces. God forbid.
On YouTube.
Make sure you've got a vomit bag ready.
That's right. Maybe put the resolution down low.
Yeah.
Save that data and just get a little bit less clarity.
You don't need 1080p on this yet.
Mm-mm.
You absolutely don't.
Thank goodness we don't record in 4K.
Should we go 4K?
I don't really see the point in 4K for this kind of content.
Actually, every year that goes by, because we're getting older, we're not young men anymore, we should put the camera half a meter back.
This is true.
Just keep going back and keep going back until
we're sound levels will still be fine.
Yeah, exactly. We might. You know how old people will start to sound like a little vibrato? Hello, Mark. How are you?
We might get a bit of that going on.
You know, we are a couple of old men. But what else is news with you, dude? Other than wasting your time. You went for a swim? Congratulations.
Good. Free swim. My free Monday swim.
Cheap bastard. Oh, I had in a situation. Speaking of bad smells this week.
That was just quite a segue from a while back. Yes.
Bad smells. I had another intensely bad smell. And you might be able to catch a waft of it still.
Oh.
My daughter, obviously she wakes up about 2 hours before I do. And she's quite adept at like making her own toast and all that sort of stuff. She's six. She puts a toast on, all that sort of thing. And we're encouraging.
My daughter makes cereal. I don't allow her to cook anything. I let her with a knife to cut up a banana to put in with the cereal.
You don't let her use the toaster?
No.
Oh, Maddie uses the toaster. Okay. But anyway, and then she's
unsupervised.
She's unsupervised. She does it fine. Like, what can go wrong?
Where's the story going?
It gets worse. She's even started to become quite adept at using the microwave.
Mm.
But then she got two pieces of bread that were completely frozen out of the freezer.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, I've got to defrost these mofos.
Yes.
And then she put it into the microwave.
For how long?
38 minutes.
That's probably a touch too long. I might have gone for a minute.
No, no, no. She put it on for 38 minutes, right?
And she stopped it.
And then she went and watched TV.
Right. And then she smelled something was wrong.
And then forgot it. And then smelt it. And smoke was billing out at 8 minutes. Wow. And then she was like, Dad! Like screaming. I was like, what? Oh, she was like, and
fire!
And then she's screaming. And you know, sometimes when she's urgently screaming, like something's happened, an accident's happened, something like that. And I'm like, get up. And I try and find some track pants to throw on. And she comes in and I'm like, I'm just putting some pants.
She's like, don't worry about the pants.
Yeah, she said that. She's like, get out of here. She said, you don't have time for the pants. So I get out there and she's managed to stop the microwave, but she's opened up the microwave. There's smoke blowing out and two charcoal in a microwave. And a microwave just shakes water. And it does the absolutely charcoal. And like the amount of carcinogens and bad smoke that comes out of burnt toast out of a microwave and that bad smell. It was in the house for like days. It was intense. And that's then I was like, maybe we don't do so much microwaving anymore. Little girl.
Yeah.
So we didn't burn the house down.
It's good.
Put your head on the microwave before you go.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I will.
You turn it on.
38 minutes.
38 minutes. But we've been putting vinegar through it.
Right.
We've been heating up lemons, vinegar, coffee grounds, all these things off the internet told us to do to get burnt smell out of it. But yeah, I think this is like minor burns they're talking about. 8 minutes of a couple
just
of pieces.
Toast. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty intense.
I'm pretty sure if you ate that toast, you would have been terminally ill and died. I'm quite certain of it. Anyway, what has that got to do with rugby, Mark? Make a segue between my burnt toast and a relevant rugby point.
Well, you know who got burned in the rugby?
We did.
We got fifth in the sevens. Wow. What?
I feel sorry for them, man.
Not even in the medal matches.
Bugger. Yeah, real shame for them.
I've never watched this much sevens in my life.
Yeah, and we're historically very good. Yes.
This is my level of sevens knowledge.
Yeah.
We're usually pretty good.
Fiji's very good.
Fiji's usually pretty good.
And it's us two battling for...
And then there's like sometimes like the Aussies will have a good tournament. I think the Irish have been on the up. The Argentinians, from what I understand, like in the last 12, 18 months.
The English have had good years in the past.
Yeah, that's right. But at the moment, it seems like it's the Argentinians who were like, they could get gold this year.
Yeah.
They've got two of the best players in the world.
They didn't get into the medal games.
They also went out early.
The thing about sevens.
And the Blitzbox are kind of, they only just qualified for the thing. They were the last qualifying team. They've been trending the wrong way.
They've never been particularly good, but they had a really good tournament.
I thought the Blitzbox used to be good. Didn't they used to be decent?
They're okay. They're a rugby-loving nation, but they haven't really ever invested wildly in sevens.
Okay.
But they've done okay in certain tournaments. But sevens is a weird game because, you know, sometimes you watch Union and you, like, take the Blues and the Chiefs final, for example. The Blues had a nervy start for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But then they had 75 minutes to build into the game.
They did.
And if you have a nervy start... In sevens, you're gone.
Almost dead and buried, yeah.
You're gone. You don't have time to, like, find your feet. You don't have time to work back into the game. It is an incredibly fickle game.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be on from the minute go. And if it's not clicking for you, if your passes aren't sticking out, if you haven't got your cohesion on point,
you can
make three mistakes and lose the game.
That's right.
Yeah, it's you know, really, really exciting at the same time.
My main takes away from watching... 18 hours of sevens now? Is it more? Been watching a lot of sevens.
What do you understand about the game?
So restarts are incredibly important.
Yeah, turnovers are really important.
Turnover ball is incredibly important.
Yeah.
One missed tackle, not more often than not, but a lot of the time directly leads to a try.
Yeah. Go for a ball. Front football is important, but not as important as it is in 15s. You can go backwards to go forwards.
That's right. And defensive sets are virtually, like, going through, like, 10 phases of defense, that just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Not really. And then also, virtually no teams kick it.
Yeah.
Possession is king.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my main...
You can...
takeaways, anyway.
And
also, everyone just likes to go on the outside and just get into the pace.
I played 15s from... the time I was 5 till I was 18.
Right.
And 15s is tiring. I played as a flanker. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty active role. And, you know, you play at schools like 35 and a half or whatever.
Sevens is more tiring.
Sevens is just, I've played sevens a couple of times, a few times, and it is just the most exhausting freaking experience because you're just sprinting end to end the whole time. And when you're so tired, you can get gassed easy, but they're tired, you're tired, and if they just have a little bit more pace to get around you, you've just got to be pushing yourself to the limit at all times. It's like, have you ever done HIIT training?
No.
High intensity interval training?
No.
So that is incredibly tiring. So just like going on to like a exercise cycle or a spin thing with Jiggy and just going as hard as you can for 30 seconds and taking 30 seconds off. Going as hard as you possibly can for 30 seconds and taking 10 seconds.
Actually, no, I have done that.
Yeah, and that would...
I had pieces of flesh cut out of me.
Why are we having... What, is this a dream?
No, this is real.
I think it's 30-10. Okay. You go 20. I do one where you go 20-10.
Okay.
And you do like 8 rounds of it. And by the end of it, you're just like... Somebody kill me.
Yeah.
Like it's so intensely. It's like, because you get these micro breaks before you're just back, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and I was taking a supplement as part of a medical experiment. I was paid medical experiment while I was working at the university. So I had to like exercise. They wanted guys who were not in great shape, but could still exercise.
I thought it was part of that micro penis study you were part of.
No, it was micro. Some of it was micro something, but it wasn't penis. But it was like you had to exercise really hard and then they wanted to take a fresh sample of you when you were at like exhaustion and then compare it with your... I've got like 4 little scars along my thigh.
You know what I reckon it was? I reckon it was a total cover-up. I reckon
they paid me.
Well, yeah. The things
there's going to be clones of me.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I reckon there are clones.
They never sent me Mark the results. Morgan. They said they would send me the results. Like, you'd opt in. Like, do you want to see the results of the study?
Yeah.
Or at the end of it or not? And then they never sent them to me. Okay,
wild theory. I reckon they've made hundreds of thousands, if not millions of clones of you.
Okay.
And they're just trying...
Why do they need 4 samples of flesh then? They just had one.
Well, you know.
In case the first one was retarded.
Highly
likely.
But maybe they've got so many clones of you and they're just trying to do a pain study of like putting all of these clones of you through incredible amounts of pain till they die. So there's just pain, like clone and clone and clone of Mark just Morgan suffering. Just going through an unimaginable amount of pain.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, rugby. I like rugby.
Yeah. All right, key specs. What are our keys? Key statistics?
Key stats, it's the key events.
Let us know what you think down below. Let's get into it, eh?
But yes, I admit, I have seen Antoine Dupont substituted in 15s before, and he usually looks all right. Like, he's usually on there, he's pretty chill. They rub him on the head because he's getting man of the match half the time.
Yeah.
But I saw him subbed in sevens, and he looked freaking pooped.
It's stupid. Like,
whose channel is this on? This is yours or mine?
It's mine.
It's yours.
Oh, okay. Well, it could be yours. Because
it's yours, right? Okay. He was fucked. He was absolutely fucked.
It is. It's just your lungs are just burning out of your chest. It's insane. Oh, look, I'm played at such an incredibly far lower level than that, but like just in my own personal experience.
So it seems to be very high intensity. The semi-finals were Australia, South Africa, France, and Fiji. Those would be 4 semi-finalists.
Before we go on, can I tell you how I did a colleague of mine dirty?
Okay.
I was meant to be... What morning was it that we lost to the South Africans?
I think Saturday.
No, it wasn't Saturday.
Friday.
It might have been Friday. So I was driving to Hamilton to meet him there.
Okay.
And I was like, where are you going to meet? And he said, oh, I'm just in a McDonald's and I'm watching the sevens. I'm watching us play the box and we're losing. It's not looking so good.
Right.
And then I didn't know that we were playing the quarterfinal at that point. And I knew that we played them the day before. And I said, mate, we win that game. Don't worry about it. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, we played them yesterday. It just must be, you know how they play replays? I was like, so it's just a replay you're watching. And he was like, oh, good. I was a little bit worried there for a second. And then I get to another place we're meeting. I'm like, oh, my phone. And I'm like, All Black Sevens shock defeat to South Africa. And I'm like, oh, it really was a real gut punch. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, my dude.
Yeah.
And he was like watching. He said, I felt so confident. Felt like any second now.
We're just going to win it.
Yeah.
Because you knew the result.
Yeah. But he,
oh, brutal. That game was one where actually the box did have a really long defensive set. And they held us out for ages. So that was very un-sevens. Like, and they just kept kicking the ball.
The box?
They kicked the ball so much. They kick it. They're the only side that just like, anyway, Aussies do it a little bit, but South Africa just kicks for territory.
There you go.
Even in sevens.
Even in the sevens. The only team that can make it boring. Sorry, Springbok fans. Yeah, but that was disappointing because they do so well at the...
Well, the Boks had lost like two of the games in the pools.
We beat them.
They were one of the lowest qualifying sides and they knocked us out.
Yeah,
and Ireland got knocked out in the quarters again. Sorry, Ireland.
To Fiji. And they almost beat Fiji, didn't they?
There was a controversial one where there was like a knock-on in the build-up, but Sevens has got really tight laws about what they can look back, and there was one that... Because the ref had gone, and it's fine, they couldn't go back, even though it was knock-on.
Yeah, well, that's shit sport. Happens.
Yeah, that's sport. That's sport.
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I'm sorry you gutted for the Irish.
Yeah.
But it went on.
So France had the Boks in the semi.
Yeah.
The Boks were doing pretty well, and then DuPont came on, and France won.
Boy, oh boy. And tell me about what he did. I didn't watch a game.
I can't remember.
I watched a final.
Between that one and the final. What did you watch about the final?
It was pretty tight in the first half.
Was it nil all at halftime?
No.
Or was it 7-7?
It might have been 7-7. The Fijians got a try early, just a Fijian try where they just screw, you know, put on the pace, a couple of passes, and you're like, ooh, it could be a long day for the French.
Mm.
Massive crowd, $69,000. $69,000.
$69,000 tickets. Bang. They sold them out.
The whole time. You know, it really felt Olympic. Felt special. And then it was tight. The French did well to stay in it, get a try.
Mm.
And then DuPont gets a scrappy ball from the kickoff down the blind down side.
Wing, yeah.
And then he's away. Yeah, and they managed him well because he...
And they got a freaking maul try at the end. Like, yeah. What?
And that was him again, eh?
Yeah.
DuPont
with a maul try.
Yeah, he got two tries. So he didn't get that first try.
Yeah, he set it up.
But he got the second try, which was pretty much all... It was
tap
just
and
him
go, and then...
A couple of right footsteps and over.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, how good is the guy?
He's very good.
Is he... A question for you.
Mm-hmm.
That I think I'm the first person to ever ask this.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's asked this. I have no idea what you're going to say.
Well, look, I'm just going to put it out there. There's certain talk about him being the goat. And I don't mean that the sort of farmyard creature that, like Billy Goat. Mm. I mean the greatest of all time.
Mm.
Greatest rugby player of all time. Of all the players that have ever been, he is the greatest. Is he that man?
He's definitely in the conversation because of all the other guys who I would think of, like it's a Kiwi bias, but we've had pretty good, like from my time as a rugby fan, we've had pretty dominant teams, more so than other sides. Like you got Dan Carter, who's literally the top point scorer of all time by miles. Like he's got over 1,500 points. The next best is like 1,200, I think, Owen Farrell. Then you got Richie McCaw, who's got the most...
Talismanic captain,
two World Cup wins, and like the most test wins of any rugby world or any world player, any player ever.
Yeah.
And then one guy who maybe, if you're looking at the kind of cross code thing, if you're looking for sevens with DuPont, which is not a code, but you know what I mean? It's a different game.
Lomu?
Brad Thorne.
All right.
So I was just looking at his list before we started.
He's winning this.
You said I was starting, I was taking notes. So he won the NRL, he won State of Origin, he won the NPC, he won the Ramfurly Shield, he won Super Rugby, he won the Bledisloe Tri Nations, Rugby World Cup, and Heineken Cup.
I do. A video
about that.
And then,
he used to make videos.
Yeah, and then I put all the trailer. It took me so long to edit that little bit. It was a pain in the ass, your mother for sixpence.
Yeah.
He was. The greatest rugby player of all time? Rugby player. Like, he's the most winningest footy player that we can think of. Was in great teams and was clearly a great player.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's in the conversation as the greatest rugby player.
I think if you're looking individuals, you'd probably look more at DC.
DC, McCaw. Mm. I like to always think of Lomu just because he was, even though he wasn't the catch pass skill king, just the ability to run over five guys on the way to a try line.
Yeah.
One
of the guys who changed the game, right?
Yeah. He was absolutely a massive train lead. And like, and in terms of other countries, some of the greatest of all time.
Habana's got a crazy try scoring record. I think he scored like 67.
But
he played a lot of tests.
Yeah.
Compared to some other guys who were up there.
We talk about who's in the conversation, but who's got the best argument in the conversation? Is it DuPont? If he's got the strongest case. Because the thing about DuPont is Dan Carter was a fantastic, ran the game beautifully, was a beautiful kicker, was a great goal kicker, had an attacking flair. Mm-hmm. Those are all qualities, but he wasn't a jackler at the ruck.
No.
You know, he wasn't hugely massive and combative in the contact. You know, he didn't have a lightning speed around the ruck.
DC was just very good at everything you want a 10 to be. Like, some 10s had the kicking game but not the running game.
Yeah.
Some guys had the running game but maybe were a bit soft on defense, whereas Dan Carter had just everything for a 10.
Whereas sometimes you look at DuPont's game and you're like,
he's got everything for a 9 and he's got more shit too.
He's got everything for a rugby player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a really good kicking game. He's got a great pass. He's excellent around the strength
when he's like, there's some of those tries having tackles where like that one with the Irish guy. What's
the
his name?
The Australian Irish guy.
Wow, he's been out injured for so long. I can't think of his name. Well,
that's your job, dude.
It's not Hugo Keenan.
Mac
Hansen.
McPatty Aussie.
He was like going for the line and it was a sure thing and he's just like yoink.
He freaking did the Kino on Ioane hold up at the 2011 World Cup. Yeah, he's incredibly strong, incredibly tenacious. One thing that I don't know, like, it's hard for me to say that he's the greatest, not because he's not a New Zealander, but because I still don't think I've seen him play that much personally. For me, like, you would have. Whereas I haven't seen him play in New Zealand.
That's true.
I've only seen him play maybe two or three test matches against the All Blacks.
Right.
Of which he's won two.
Right.
I thought that in the World Cup opener, Aaron Smith looked sharper than him in that game. Maybe off to a slow start.
Right.
He didn't insert his dominance on the World Cup last year.
He got a facial fracture.
Yeah, it didn't go his way, but he wasn't able to overcome that and assert his dominance when it counted.
Compared to like a DC when he was having that 2015 campaign where he just took games by the scruff of the neck.
He wasn't able to do it in last year's tournament. He was incredible, absolutely incredible in the Champions Cup this year. That's all I've seen of him. So, and then everything else is you just see highlights, you just see...
It would be nice to see...
He won the top
see,
14 this year.
Yeah, he won the top 14. I think he won the Champions Cup. He won
gold medal. He certainly...
Didn't win the Six Nations this year, but he won it last year, I think. No. Ireland won it 2 years in a row, the year before.
He wasn't...
He wins a lot of stuff.
He's a very, very, very good rugby player.
Whether or not he is the GOAT, it's going to be down to personal opinion, but he's in the conversation.
He is in the conversation.
For sure.
And if you think he's the GOAT, then that's awesome. I don't mind. If you don't think he's the GOAT, then that's fine too. We don't have to name call each other, do we?
Can I tell you two things I noticed from a couple of fan bases after the Olympic gold medals came out?
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to be talking about the French fan base and the South African fan base.
Are you going to be derogatory about the set?
I'm going to say, I will caveat that. Just by
really,
saying,
really in here today.
It's vocal elements of both of those fan bases.
Yes, the South Africans are a particularly vocal fan base.
Those are your words, not mine.
Am I wrong?
Well, there's a couple of Facebook groups I'm a member of.
Mark on camera and off camera.
There's a few South African guys who are just like giving DuPont shit.
Yeah, why, man?
Like, yeah, literally, why?
Why? He's really good.
He's really good.
And it's a beautiful
It's a fairy tale story. Yeah, like, wow, he didn't win the World Cup, did he?
Who gives a shit?
He got a gold medal.
It's the Sevens isn't playing.
It's not the World Cup. It's different.
It's a different event.
Yeah.
In France, it's a massive event, a massive spectacle. Rugby Sevens was the biggest event at the Olympics that day because the French crowd was involved.
Home crowd.
69,000 viewers were watching. There was a story that neutrals and non-rugby fans could get behind. There was a superstar in the middle.
Talismanic leader.
There was a Michael Jordan character.
Exactly.
You know, like,
exactly. It's a good... Just be happy for that one.
Just be happy for the code as well.
Now, the French fans, there's so many of them that were like... This is what happens when we don't get the interference from like the Anglo-Saxon nations who won't let us win a World Cup.
Oh.
Like saying that referees will never let France win a World Cup. As if it's like different referees at the seven. Like, as if the Olympics are like, well, these are our referees. These aren't the referees who you usually see. They're all the same referees. I know the Sevens referees sometimes aren't like, you know, it's not Ben O'Keefe. It's not like,
but
some of those people who referee Sevens, referees 15s, they're still employees of like the same.
I don't know. Everybody comes up with this shit, don't they?
I know. Yeah. Every nation has got this like.
It's their damn Anglo-Saxon thing. Yeah. Have I ever expressed my slight irritation with South African fans on this podcast?
We've moved on from that point. How are you coming back to it?
I just want to come. Just when something's happening that you have nothing to do with, you are not in the final between Fiji and France, please do not comment with four World Cup trophies.
You sensitive.
And saying back to back, still couldn't do it when it counts. Like, just be humble. Were you doing that when we went
back to back in 2011, 2015?
Never.
Well, if the All Blacks lost the game, were you like, suck it, we got three World Cups?
Never once. Can you remember any New Zealanders doing it anywhere? We got quite arrogant. We may have been a bit arrogant at times, but the one thing about New Zealanders as well on social media, if people are pricks on social media, there's so few of us. We are a tiny country where there's only 5 million of us.
The percentage of pricks may be the same, but the total number of pricks is less because we're a small country.
So there's not a vocal.
It's not as noticeable, I guess.
Whereas you watch, like, look at this. Like, if Squidge makes a video about how great not that he's ever done that. What's Faf?
Faf de Klerk.
Faf de Klerk is, and then how great Aaron Smith is. The one about Faf de Klerk will get about 75% more views.
Oh, right.
But just due to the fact that there's not that many New Zealanders who will watch it because there's not that many of us. So content creators know that if you make content about South Africa and you say good things about South Africa, that's playing to the audience and you're going to get more views and you're going to get more ad revenue. So when you're saying that some people, not talking about you, Mark.
I try to call it down the middle. I try. I genuinely try to call it the middle.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like. So there's a reason. There were reasons for things. Did I just part the kimono a little bit then? Oh, Christ. What was your face when that happened? Anyway, yes. South Africa.
Africa is definitely...
Well done for being
If I look at the analytics of my channel, it's the biggest audience.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't want to piss them off.
It's like 30%. And then I think it's like UK, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia. That's top five. Always that's the top five. But it'll vary depending on like Six Nations time. South Africa drops to like fourth or fifth. It'll be UK, Ireland. That's like one and two, just depending on what games are on.
And if I sat here in this podcast, in any other podcast, and just bagged the shit out of New Zealand and said New Zealand aren't the strength they used to be, the aura's gone, and just went hard at them.
The aura's gone? Fuck, a lot of people come up with that one.
Yeah, the aura. Can you stop talking about the aura? But
am I allowed to get my gears ground a little bit by that?
Can I finish my gears? If I did that, I would get we get so many comments going, yeah, you're right, the All Blacks aren't the team they once were, they're starting, and we get heaps of comments going, oh, I like the way that, I like the cut of this jib, he calls it down the middle. Really, it'll be all, and then if I just say that South Africa were pretty lucky to get 3 1-point victories in a row at a knockout tournament, the amount, the absolute steam train of bullshit coming at me is immense. Like, that's what you get on the online rugby space, basically. You have to, like, play to that audience to get... Otherwise, you just get met with hate, as you can see in the comments below.
Tell us your favorite comment giving Tony shit down below.
Yeah.
If I can relate it back, you know my channel.
Sorry, yeah, go for yours.
I was actually going to... Oh, I forgot what point I was going to make, but my channel...
We haven't got that much to talk about, so we're just parting the kimono a little bit.
Yeah. My channel is based off a ice hockey channel from a guy called The Hockey Guy, right? Yeah, yeah. And he follows all 32 NHL franchises, right? You got to listen for a change. The words need to go into your ears.
I'm listening.
Just for a second.
Yeah, he bases it off all the NHL
games. He does all the NHL games,
can
right?
Can I open the beer?
No. But he tries not to do just videos about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because if he did videos about the Toronto Maple Leafs, he gets 10 times the views as like the freaking Dallas Stars. Because Texans care less about ice hockey than Canadians.
the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if he did like the Canucks.
There are channels out there which are just solely about the Maple Leafs, whereas his, he does everything.
Right.
But he could make more money if he was like, I'm just going to do like four videos about the Maple Leafs and then like one video about the Florida Panthers, you know, or some other team where hockey is not a big sport.
Yeah. Well, it's, and you've got to make sensible decisions sometimes. So like there are, you know, people like yourself and other YouTubers that are making their incomes off this sort of stuff. And you can't go around and just like to your biggest audience and like, especially if they're a little sensitive, you can't go away giving the finger to them, but you still want to be down the middle. It's a balance, isn't it?
My philosophy is genuinely that every fan base has pricks and people who like to stir shit.
Yeah.
I don't think any fan base is, honestly, the English guys are pretty nice.
There you go.
Their media sucks balls.
But the fans
aren't. I don't remember many English fans just like getting into the comments and just being like, oh, like
South Africa
fans have been guilty of it. Kiwi fans have been guilty of some. Like recently between the Irish and South Africans, that's a thing in itself.
Yeah.
That's been, that's been escalating.
They're both swinging at each other.
They're both swinging. Like, yeah, that's been quite a little thing. English fans tend to be pretty chill. And Wallabies fans, they're kind of at the moment just like, we're just happy to be here. Like, they're not giving anyone shit. They're just like trying to, they're like, when there's a fight going on at school, they're just kind of watching and they're just going, whoa, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a close game with Georgia. yeah. But it's entertaining, all that stuff at the same time.
Oh, I enjoy the banter, for sure.
I think that's the first time anybody, you know, it's a historical event what you've just done there.
What's that?
Saying something nice about English people on a podcast on a rugby format.
We love to give the English guys shit. So much grief and about how we hate to lose to England.
Yeah.
And like some of them, I mean, some of the like the pundits and whatnot can get a little bit arrogant. Some of the media, like I remember before the 2019 World Cup final, they were just like, we have got, like, well, this is a shoo-in. Like we smashed the All Blacks, you know, South Africa only just kind of had a arm wrestle game with Wales. Like there's no way
that they should lose.
So even the 32-12,
even though like I've got English friends and like they were really good about it when they beat us in 2019. They were just like, they were just so chuffed that they put on such a good performance. And all you could say was, you guys were just way better.
Yeah, exactly. Like
way better than us that day.
Yeah.
But we missed one thing that grinded. I went past your point about you. But
the aura.
The aura.
Yeah.
How's your aura? I'm sensing an angry aura.
So how many times is that going to come up?
It's the one thing that like English pundit, or no, like overseas pundits say all the time, well, they're not quite the same. That aura's gone, the fear's gone. I kind of embrace that chat now. Like, keep telling us the aura's gone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Keep telling us
that's the aura's a good one gone. That they can write on the walls of the locker room before.
The aura is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, the All Blacks have lost.
The All Blacks, even when they were bad under Fozzie, who I think record-wise is the worst coach of our history, percentage-wise, he still got them to World Cup final. He still won rugby championships, I think, every year he was in charge, even if he scraped through that COVID year when South Africa didn't play and we drew with Argentina and stuff. So
still had a winning record in the 70s.
Yeah, he's 60s or 70s, I think. So
70s.
70s. Yeah.
Oh.
So
he's done all right.
I think the All Blacks are generally pretty good.
they've done all right.
I think they're not the 2015 team. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they're not all the way.
The 2015 team was ridiculous.
We don't have players like McCaw, Carter. Mm. We've lost Aaron Smith. We've lost Karen Reid. Even having like, you know, Martin Nono, Conrad Smith, Sonny Bill coming off the bench, a young Bowden Barrett with everything to prove, Ben Smith at the top of his game. Yeah. Like, just try and beat that team.
Like,
Nehi Miloskata playing magic for a season. Like, Wakasandu.
Great All Black.
I love that player. He's a great North Harbour man.
Waisaki Noholo.
Yeah, they were just...
They're a good team.
The bus at full flight.
Peak bus. That's right.
Peak bus, Julian Surveyor. We got to talk about Artie.
Artie. We need to move on then because we're talking a whole lot of shit.
Okay, yeah, rugby.
Yes. Stop writing articles about the aura. We don't care.
Here's your aura. Do I have to mute that?
Yeah, maybe. No? Women's sevens got underway. Day one. Yes. New Zealand, did you follow their results?
Okay, no, this is what we're going to do. You're going to tell me who played and I was going to try. So, I don't know the results, so I'll try and guess who won.
New Zealand have played China and Canada.
Okay, so Canada are a good women's team.
Yes.
In the 15s. I'm going to say that translates a wee bit, but I think we probably put...
I don't have the scores in front of me. I can't remember them.
But we won then, yeah.
Yes, we won. We beat the Canadians.
Yeah.
And what about my personal battle with China and New Zealand, which is a battle of two nations, which I have great... spent a number of years in China, so I've kind of got mixed feelings when I see the Black Fern Sevens take on the Chinese girls. Do you think we beat them?
Yep.
Yeah, we beat them. We smashed them.
And they smashed the Fijians. That's all I know.
Yeah. That was interesting. I was watching the Ferns taking on the Chinese going like, you beat them, but just like, go easy. Yeah, but they didn't go easy. Like, Michaela Blyde got like four tries.
That's how I used to feel about New Zealand playing Ireland. Right. Be like, beat them. I just, you know.
Yeah, not too much.
And then I'm like, just beat them.
Yeah.
Now, like, yeah.
China beat Fiji, like you said, which was a bit of a shock. They beat like four, they put 40 points on them.
Yeah, insane.
Canada also played Fiji.
Well, look, I'm saying this Fiji team is not at the peak of their powers. No. I say Canada got
one. So in that pool, New Zealand's top, Canada, Fiji 1-1, and then Fiji none from two.
Ooh.
The other teams.
So Fiji's gone.
The South Africans and the men's went none and two and still managed to make it through. They can make it. They got a bronze, by the way. We didn't talk about that. They got bronze.
Congratulations.
I
just want to talk to you.
Yes.
Before we.
You want to give some South Africans some more shit? Let's go.
No, Tony. Good luck to the sevens.
Tony's not talking
about South Africa anymore.
You're going to get some more comments. That helps your algorithm. Helps your engagement.
I do love South African people. It's just the fans online. It's just a little toxic.
That percentage of fans.
They're the loud ones. They're everywhere. Every second comment is for
Rian's South African.
I love Rian.
Rian is the normal South African fan.
He's like sweet and lovely.
That's most people.
Yeah, I know that, but there's just so many angry four. Yeah, but stick these four trophies up your ass. Oh, shut up. Stop giving me the emojis. No more emojis.
You know, the comments are just going to be four trophy emojis.
Yeah, it's engagement, bitch.
I win.
No, Rian's lovely. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And like the South African people that I know are great. Yeah. Also a little vocal at times, but lovely.
I know, like, literally once on the street in Glen Eden, I was just walking along Glen Eden and this car pulled over and just stopped with this guy with a South African accent, just like saying, hey, you're the guy from YouTube. And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, oh, I love your work. And he drove off. And I was like, what a lovely South African man.
That's nice. Fantastic. I feel like if I'm going to get recognized by a South African, I'd be like, I've got four trophies to stick up your ass, Tony. It's a strange South African accent. Okay. Yeah,
that was more like Twelfth Man.
More Tony Gregg. Okay.
Point were you wanting to make?
The point was the women's black ferns, right, and sevens, have so many of the black ferns, 15s players that go across and they can play both codes.
Whereas our men's team had none.
Our men's team have got none.
Ireland had Keenan.
DuPont had France.
Australia had Nakasin and Corey Toole from the Brumbies.
Yeah.
And like Ravu Tamanda from Fiji, obviously played.
Maybe they should have put a Hoskins or Tutu out there. Maybe not the pace.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So you want to go play some sevens, mate?
There seems to be a bit of taboo in New Zealand about like the All Blacks guys shouldn't be going to play sevens. Like that's like disrespecting your All Blacks jersey.
Well, they were all psyched about it originally. Like Sonny Bill went across, and then at the next tournament, Caleb Clark was like, "I'll do it," and that was the thing that completely made it so wildly unattractive for any other All Black to go across.
Yeah,
because he dedicated his whole season, didn't play Super Rugby.
Yep.
Came in the year before. He was the All Black. Yep. Like he had an
breakthrough player.
He had a great year in that COVID 2018. Year. No, 2019.
Was it 2020? It was COVID year. I remember he played the Wallabies a lot.
He didn't play. He didn't get selected, and then he got stuck in a hotel.
He didn't play for the sevens. So he got selected in their wider training squad, but not in the actual sevens team.
The All Blacks are like,
I don't want to waste my, like, you don't want to lose your All Black spot.
Yeah.
Because like DuPont knows he's going to get back into the French team.
Whereas the Black Ferns, they don't. They have a lot of players go back and forth, don't they?
Yeah. But,
and there are like sometimes on the world circuit, there are some of the best players who choose to play the world.
Who are
the
All Blacks guys that could play sevens and still not rest their place? Like Will Jordan could have played sevens and been amazing.
Oh.
If he was fit, obviously, because he's been injured. But
yeah,
he could have been amazing at sevens, and you still think he's not. Oh, well, Jordan's been off with the sevens. Well, we'll just drop that prick who gets to try a game for the All Blacks.
It'd be good to see Narawa or some a player like that go across.
Tip if you'll pick the Fijian.
Well, they're good, man.
Good at sevens.
But a shooter Stevens out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved seeing him in the sevens.
But it's almost like there's a bit of, like, if you show that you want to go for the sevens, it's showing that you're not committed to the All Blacks.
Basically, currently the way it works in New Zealand is if you're a, if you're fit as fuck, but not quite good enough to have to make a franchise...
You play sevens.
How about you give sevens a crack?
Yeah.
Or you're really young and you're showing promise, but we don't know quite what to do
with you.
You're
like that kid who didn't get into medicine, so you become an optometrist.
Whereas in the past, it used to be like an absolute proving ground for like...
Lomu, Cullen, like Osborne, a bunch of these guys.
Yeah, no, they are, Eric Rush, exactly. Carl Tanana. Well, I'm going, it's getting a little less and less every time we get...
Don't go Carl Tanana. Never go Carl Tanana.
Why did you go full Carlton? I like Carl Denard. I think he's actually quite a good broadcaster.
Gazza says he loves himself.
He says everyone, I love myself. It's good to have good self-esteem, Gazza.
So what do you reckon? Should the All Blacks be available for the sevens, or is it too disruptive?
It's such a big deal. It's the Olympics, man. Yeah, it's the Olympics. It's a massive risk. To be honest, if I wasn't... Look, there's never a world where I'm going to be an All Black, right? Okay? But if I was an All Black, I'd probably be like... Not with the risk.
Right.
You want to see players do it and make the pathway look that attractive, and you want to see a big-time All Black or one or two of them raising, you know, with gold medals around their necks, and then that's going to be like, there's going to be a few players at home going, oh,
yeah,
that looks like fun. But we did the opposite. We put a guy in a hotel by himself for 6 weeks, and he was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
It was bad.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I do feel sorry for the guys who like play all the regular sevens tournaments and then some All Black or whatever just comes waltzing in. It's like, I'll take that Olympic spot. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the best players. That's the Olympics.
The coach has just got to pick the best players.
It's one of the most brutal parts of the Olympics are people who get cut from the national teams. Like that's people who are like world-class dedicated athletes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pain of losing a medal at the Olympics, you see it in all the other sports. I've been watching a bit. It's just people are just so devastated when they don't perform to their
That's
potential.
Right. 4 years of prep.
Yeah.
I'm just going to rattle off these results. So the Aussies are looking good. The Aussies are looking good.
Yeah, okay, right.
So they're 2-0.
All right.
They beat the South Africans and GB.
It's coming from my butthole.
What the fuck was that?
It's because when it gets really windy, there's a little gap up there that makes it go.
They like probably couldn't hear. It was weird.
Yeah, the weather's really packed it in this evening.
You will be happy to know that in the women's sevens, South Africa is none from two.
Oh,
they
right.
lost to Australia and Ireland. Irish-South Africa thing just
keeps going on. I'd like to see
like them. When South Africa beat Ireland in game one, it was like, yeah, stick your number two in the world up your butt. Then Ireland won. Down in South Africa, it's like, stick your number one in the world up your butt. And then South Africa beat Ireland went out in the sevens. I think Ireland beat them in the regular pool play. Shove it up your butt. And then Ireland went out in the quarterfinals and Africa shove it up your butt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the South Africans and the Irish.
They're really at each other.
They're going at it. Maybe the battle for the green. Like, who's the true green team?
It's definitely Ireland is the true green team. One of the things that's irritating me about the South African commentary and the South African marketing of the team.
Let's tell me something else you don't like about South Africa, Tony. I need to bring some clippies next time to cheer you up.
When I say, I love clippies. I love clippies. I love
them. You've only got some ice in the fridge. I'll bring some clippies.
I have ice in the fridge.
Okay.
I've got ice in the fridge. When I say the team in green and gold, who do you think of?
Well, I've been influenced by the fact that for a few years I used to listen to a podcast called Green and Gold Rugby, which was an Aussie rugby podcast.
But green and gold's always been Australia. Like the green and gold, it's Australia. Forever, across all sports, we're supporting the green and gold. It's all green and gold. Then this year, all of a sudden, get behind the green and gold. The South Africans have appropriated. I understand they're green.
Probably goes back longer than just last year.
No, I've never. Oh, but personally, I've never heard it. But the Australians are so entrenched with the being the.
We're a lot closer to South Africa to Australia, true. Though. So maybe we just get exposed to it more. Yeah. And the other pool, the US and the French are 2-0. The Japanese and the Brazilians are none from two.
Ah, I was hoping for the Brazilians to do all right.
They still might do all right, but they're not looking very good.
Okay.
Have you seen the All Black squad?
Finlay Christie got dropped, and so did Narawa.
Yes. Narawa dropped a couple of balls in that game against Fiji. Is that why he got dropped?
I guess so.
He only had like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a bit brutal, eh?
But he dropped like two balls in 10 minutes.
One of the things these guys are all saying these days is like, we don't know what's happening in the environment. How is he doing in the environment?
Maybe he's the prick in the environment.
Maybe people don't like him in the environment. Yeah, it's a lot of environment chat. Mm-hmm. And I guess they talk about, you know, what they contributed around the camp and, you know. Oh, look at this. A little sneaky pizza over there. We've got a little pot. Can we review your pottery live on the podcast? There we go. There we go. Hello.
I'll try not to drop it.
Oh, wow. So my partner has just come back with some pottery. This is a not just a rugby podcast. We also do reviews of pottery reviews. These days. Oh, look. It's got some... Looks lovely.
It's got some patterns in there.
It's got some patterns dots. In there. It looks like a bowl.
That could hold a lot of things.
Quite Aztec-y in the pattern around the top, which is nice. You know, what color would you call that? A teal?
I think teal. Maybe aqua.
It's a nice teal. And look, you know, it's a nice heart there. If not a little juvenile, the way that heart looks.
Blue and red. It's like a traditional France up against Wales.
Yeah, exactly. Or I think with the white behind it.
You'll be happy with this because there's no green. It doesn't remind you of the green and gold.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's nothing to remind me about South Africa in here.
Or Ireland.
Teal? There's a little bit of green grass of Ireland, a little bit. What do you think of the squiggle down the bottom down there?
I'm into squiggles. I dig the squiggles.
Okay, well, and it's got a sticker from the teacher. Check out the sticker.
And it says, keep it up.
Keep it up. Well done. Look,
so a solid 7.5 out of 10.
So, yeah, my partner's doing pottery lessons, and she comes back each week with something, and then we have to utilize it around their house somewhere, which is great. So now we've just got lots of bowls.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Well done.
You want to take that back?
I'll leave it there.
It's fine. All right. It could become a... We didn't talk about the shell on the side. Or is that a light bulb?
Havili and Kane got recalled to the All Blacks.
Yes. Kane was an odd choice. Well, he's been around the environment.
I think he wants him to go to South Africa where he's like broken his neck in the past and just be like, tackle, 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 tackle.
Imagine he gets...
Because we got Argentina first. So there's a couple of weeks for Sam Kane to get in the environment and get up to speed and then just be unleashed to tackle.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few people saying, like, he's not Adi Savia. Well, he's not Adi Savia. They are very different players.
He probably tackles more than Adi Savia.
He tackles a lot more than Adi Savia. He doesn't do any more run meters or offloads or tackle busts or any of that stuff, but he tackles more.
And a lot. What is it? He's four tests away from 100.
Four or five, yeah.
Yeah, so does he get his hundy?
He'd have to play the majority of the Rugby Championship to get a hundy.
And he's not probably going to go on the India Tour.
Don't know. They usually go with the youngsters for the India Tour. Don't know.
Do you think it's a strange call? Do you think it would be better to give it to a player who's committed to New Zealand rugby for the next 4 years?
Feel a little bit sentimental, but I don't think Razor's like picking on sentimentality. I think he's just really going, I want someone to go to South Africa and just fucking tackle, 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 tackle.
Yeah, and I still think he played a great season last year apart from that
red card. So
poor moment.
Well, Jordan's back in. That's good news.
Good news. And
Ruben Love.
It's nice to see Ruben Love get a little bit of reward.
Tech-minded fullback.
Yeah. He's the kind of player that could potentially excel at that level. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's hard to see. Like, sometimes guys are really good at Super Rugby level, and then they get into international, and you're like, not quite there. Mm. And then some blokes just go to another level.
Take it to another level.
I've got a feeling that he could be...
One of those guys.
One of those dudes.
Okay.
There's something about him.
Like the cut of his jib.
The jib is good. There's some good cuts of jib in there.
The Springbok squad is also out, but it was a lot more stable. Evan Roos, their number eight, who's like this young, blockbusting ball carrier, who in the July series...
carrier. He's a young, blockbusting ball.
He dropped a couple of like simple balls just like didn't have the impact that would have liked when he played, I think, Portugal and played Wales, like the kind of easier games in the Irish. So maybe didn't show enough. His omission is the kind of biggest one, which I guess means it's because Jasper Visa is suspended, so it's basically Quackersmith probably playing number eight, or then Elric Lowe,
who's one of their other utility guys. I do like Quackersmith. I really do.
He's not the traditional big South African number eight, but he's talented.
He'd be really appreciated. That's why they don't like him as much over there, eh? They're like, whoa.
Apparently he's a stats dream. Like, they've done analysis on, like, someone who does a lot more stats than I did, said, like, I think for last year, like, the impact he has on the game, based on how minutes he plays and, like, the positive impacts he has on a game, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a super sub, so it's easier when you're fresh to only play.
Just go in there and
just make, get stuck in, yeah.
But you want positive contributions. Absolutely. And that's what he's making. Well, that's good. But he's and then the guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing a little bit more of was the bloke who came on for Vili LaRue.
Oh, Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu.
Yeah, he looks like a very classy player.
For sure.
What's happening to my guy Moody?
He's still injured.
Ah.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's quality. He strikes me a lot like, I compare him to him a couple of times. Sparkles McFabulous.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bit like him.
Oh, it is Ralph Flau.
I reckon he could be real quality. He scares me when he's on the field.
Good playmaker as well. I can play 10.
Can he play 10?
Kicks goal. I think he played 10 against Wales off the bench.
Holy smokes. That'd be scary running at you at number 10.
Yeah. Good player.
Jeepers.
Good player.
Good player. What a guy.
Ardie Savio's going to Moana Pacifica.
We're very happy for him. It's great to see. We talked about it for maybe like 10-15 minutes last week, but I just don't have it in me to. It feels like a bit stale news now, but great news. Well done.
I heard, somebody mentioned in the comments that, you know, Julian Savio played for Moana Pacifica last year.
Uh-huh.
And the reason he played for them is because he didn't get his contract renewed by the Hurricanes.
Oh.
Because the Hurricanes have got a bunch of outside backs, and they were like, sorry, Julian, we don't have a spot for you next year. So he signed with Moana Pacifica, and apparently he was not too appreciative of the fact that he got essentially kind of cut.
Oh, really?
So there are some that are saying that Ardie kind of, he took it personally, that his brother got cut. So
I took that personally.
That's why he decided to leave, but who knows?
Bad move.
Keep the Savias happy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, hopefully.
But I mean, to be fair, no offense, Julian, but he's not been the player that he was for a long time.
I reckon he could be more interesting at number 13.
He's a better center now than he is a winger. Like, I remember his last year of regular Super Rugby. When he was struggling to make the All Blacks?
Yeah.
I remember looking at his numbers from that year, comparing him to the previous years, because previous years he was a freak.
Yeah.
Like, just his run meters and tackle busts and, like, just X-Factor stuff was always through the roof. But in his last year with the Canes, it was just like,
He's still hard to bring down.
He started to bring down, but he lost that real pure X-Factor. He just slowed down a bit, man.
Oh, last week we also waxed lyrically about Proctor's debut. Proctor
played well. We played Fiji. Fiji were poor. Georgia played Australia.
Pretty good game.
Scored a couple of nice tries.
Portugal played South Africa.
That was a fun
Portugal
one.
Portugal scored a couple of tries.
They did.
I think
South Africa had a red card for the majority of the game, which maybe helped even things up a bit, even though it was still a real blowout.
That's good. I reckon it'd be good if rugby was a little bit like golf. You know, so golf people play with handicaps. You get strokes back if you're playing. So
Portugal takes the field against South Africa, and the scoreboard is South Africa like -50.
I'm like an 18 handicap. I'm not a great golfer, right?
Right.
And then I play like a 10 handicapper, and then I get 8 strokes in the game across the game. It'd be great if you played like a tier 2, and he's like,
give him 50 points start.
50 strokes.
Mm. That could make things
exactly. You're just going to come out and just start sassing them, you know? And then you look at, they're only 18 points down after 35 minutes. Yeah, exactly. They're on target to win.
That could get confusing.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
I think that's most of it. We haven't seemed to have any technical difficulties. Do you want to tell me anything else you don't like about South African rugby fans?
I like South Africans. I just find them, the comments just... All the emojis. Just let me emoji. I've just never... Do you think they're endearing themselves to the rugby world at the moment, the fans? Like, the crowd, the French crowd at the Olympics were booing them.
Oh, yeah, they're booing. They're booing everyone. They're booing Argentina. They're booing. Yeah, they're booing anyone who takes, like, time to dot the ball down. French crowds love a boo.
Yeah, a whistle. They love a whistle, too.
And a boo, yeah.
Yeah, a whistle and a boo.
Bit of a boo.
No, but love to you, South Africa. Big fan.
I'll bring the Clippies next week and we'll cheer the sad sack up.
I love the Clippies. Are we going to watch any rugby?
We'll drink four shots of Clippies for the four trophies that you love seeing.
Oh, God. I feel like we should do an episode with Rian. We've never had a real guest.
But fly him over.
Just buy him a ticket, send him over.
Get him a visa.
You can go straight from the airport to here.
Yeah, and then fuck him off.
That's about 20 minutes, and then he could record the podcast right now. He could stay for a cup of tea afterwards.
Yeah, we have a cup of tea.
Jeez, we're not going to rush him off too quickly. Straight back to the airport.
Yeah, get out of here, you. You and your four trophies.
I can't put you up for a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he could do some like couples counselling with me in South Africa.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Rian, if you don't know what we're talking about, Rian Lowe. He has got a channel. Oh, Tony put in a card for Rian's channel. He's taking a bit of a break for the moment because he's been watching a lot of rugby. He's got family to take care of.
Oh, that's good. I've been taking a bit of a break too.
You've been taking an extended break.
Oh, it's just hard to do, you know.
All the editing.
Holding down a job, parenting. Burning toast. It's tough, yeah.
Giving South Africa's grief.
Exactly.
Who's your second fan base that grinds your gears after? Nobody.
None.
Really?
No one. I don't like losing to anyone.
Right.
I find it very irritating, but I find I was really happy to see the French win at home. I thought that was beautiful to see. Felt sorry for the Fijians because that's their one shot at an Olympic gold. And it just means so much to the Fijians. Back-to-back
medalists in the, like, they won gold in the previous two.
Who else? What are the other group of rugby fans I find painful? I'm Irish, so I'm always sort of taking the Irish view in the great South African Irish debate. I feel very, I used to be.
It's good you can acknowledge a little bit of bias.
Yeah, of course.
Some people can't.
I'm not South African. And then I used to, growing up, I was like, I didn't hate the fans, but I hated the Australian
team. Hated the Aussies more than the Box as a young fella because they had the Bledisloe for so long.
And they were such a threat. And But now I'm just like, come on, you can do it.
Going to South Africa as a kid was always like the big challenge.
Or maybe
playing at altitude. Back when it was series over there.
I seriously can't think of a group of fans I've got anything against.
Right.
You know.
I remember growing up listening to Talkback Radio, which obviously we didn't have social media.
Yeah.
But the fans here in New Zealand, anytime we lost, were just awful.
Yeah, but that's
Talkback Radio. Like Murray Deka was just trash.
So they get a guy on a shock jock to rile everyone up and go, oh, look, it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, look, the Welsh came over here. Who are they? They're a bunch of sheep shaggers. And we only put 50 points on them.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. And look, it's meant to be our national game. It's meant to be our sense of pride. And we can't beat these blokes by 100 points. The NZR have got something wrong with them. I'm not afraid to say it. There's going to be people out there saying, well, at least we got the win. Well, you know what? It's not good enough. You know, that's
you could do that job.
Yeah, I could. I could be a shock job.
There you go.
And then you still hear that. There's a lot of like guys on SENZ and all that sort of stuff talking about. Martin Devlin's doing that a lot of the moment.
Yeah, he's got his own YouTube channel now.
Yeah, he is very negative on the All Blacks this year. Yeah. He's just like, we're not winning by enough.
He's one of the few, actually, because a lot of the other NZ rugby journos are just, oh, Razor. Yeah,
and that's his And he's like, the mainstream media is giving him a pass and all this sort of crap.
They love him. They do love him, though.
Yeah, we won seven bloody Super Rugby titles.
But they are just jacking him off, man. They are just loving everything Razor does.
Give him a couple of losses and it won't last.
And Razor is smart. And they're like, they ask him questions at press conferences and he'd be like, that's a really good question.
Yeah,
like, he loves to kind of butter it up as well. He's a smart guy. Smarter than Fozzie was, who was a little bit combative with the media.
Okay, should we do a role play? People ask for role plays. Okay, I'll be Razor Robinson, And
did you call him Robinson?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Robinson.
I didn't even do it on purpose, I promise.
Oh my God, that's the thing. That is even worse. If you did it on purpose, I would have found it more like
No. Just came out. Jessica, okay, you be a Juno, and I'll be Razor.
Razor, you've dropped Finlay Christie for the series. Well, what's the deal?
Oh yeah, look, tough calls. There are tough calls in the All Blacks, and that was a tough call to make. And just
does he know what he's going to do?
It was really good in the environment, but sometimes there are blokes putting their hands up, and that's my job. I've got to give young blokes opportunities and. Guys deserve their opportunities. Can't pick them all. Sometimes they're hard calls. Finn's still very much in our thinking. And I think there's a bright future for a lot of those lads.
Drop your trowel. Let me just give you a wee handy.
That was my... I find his eyes quite...
Yeah.
He does weird eye stuff.
Sorry, Razor. We don't mean to... I don't know this guy.
You do. Scale of 1 to 10, the Razor. I don't know the voice. I couldn't do it.
That
Razor.
Was kind of the like the caricature version.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Right. As I sit here in my tan pants.
If you okay,
is this our weirdest podcast? It's one of them.
Well, I think they're all. I actually like the podcast that we do when there's not a lot of rugby, and we just go on these weird tangents.
Right.
And yeah, the ones where we've just got to rip through
it. Grind
stuff,
through it.
They're the ones that get the most views because most people are interested.
Yeah.
But these ones where we don't. Well, the Olympic stuff is something to talk about. Absolutely.
Mm.
And then next week, what are we going to do? We're going to preview
the Rugby Championship. Squads will all be out by then. The fixtures we'll be able to talk about.
Yes. And then.
Da-di-da. And the women's gold medalists will be known.
I'm going to Wellington. I'll be at the first game.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. All right, Mark, I think that's a rugby podcast.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much for watching. I look forward to reading the comments of this one.
I don't reckon it's going to get a lot of views.
No, probably not. Yeah,
probably not.
Tell your friends to come onto this podcast and give this guy some shit.
Like and subscribe. Although I get a few comments of people going, keep it up, don't you? Keep giving those savage shit. You know, like, amongst all the shit, there's just a couple of guys going, I love you, wind up the savage. Like, do it a few. That's what keeps me going.
He's a wind up artist like no other. All right, folks. Take care.
See you later.